Senior Focus.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this session of Senior Focus. And today I am following a chat format. This is still because we're outside having our studio open. So my thoughts today centre on some of the changes that the senior community are facing in terms of digitisation, and because that was a theme at the recent Grey Power AGM I attended in Wellington, and it's a big national conversation. It's a conversation that's part of the withdrawal of banking services, closure of branches, the stopping of checks as a means of transmission of funds. And with all of this going on, whether you live rurally or in a city, you've got increased having to move to different places now to access things, more exposure on the street to people observing you withdrawing cash at a money machine, perhaps the need to plan more ahead how you pay bills and where you go and so on. And if you are doing things online or on the phone, then you're a target of scammers, and that's a very big issue because it's not something that many people have much familiarity with. I think those even who are quite familiar with computers and been on computers for years may be very trustworthy of the environment they're in and not recognise a lot of the safety risks they run. So the programs that are out in the community done by the Digital Alliance that are being offered through libraries are really fantastic. And I recommend that if you see these advertised that you go and check them out. You might think you know a lot already. You might think that you don't have much to learn. But you might also be surprised. They do cover all kinds of things like the use of banking apps, the gold card app, how to access newspapers online, how to operate selling off of goods on Marketplace or Trade Me, how to set up various communication devices for groups in the family through WhatsApp, which is really good if you're trying to plan some sort of an event where a lot of family will come from different parts of the country or even from overseas. It's a really good way where you can communicate to everyone at once. So using apps like WhatsApp, they're free and they're quite easy to set up, and they have quite a lot of protection in them so that if you communicate with individuals within a group, it's private and it's encrypticated and it's all safe. So I think really there's a lot to learn, there's a lot to find out and discover, and it's like nobody knows it all. So how much you know is not really, or don't know, is not really important. It's that you're there and that you're actually engaging and you're able to raise questions, and the opportunity is open. So you can ask anything in the session that's tech related and get advice. So if there's something that bugs you about your phone or your iPad or something that you struggle with, you can ask about it. And I certainly found it a really worthwhile exercise. So we've publicised in the latest North Shore Grey Power magazine the offerings that are happening across the North Shore. And I think that there are similar offerings happening in other parts of the country. Now, just to broaden the subject a little bit further, clearly there is a human right in terms of people having access to information, if it's in the public domain, if it's government information, and people just can't get away with saying, oh, you can find it online. There has to be alternative channels available. I know that I've mentioned in previous programs about in rural parts of New Zealand, without broadband, it doesn't really matter how well off you are. If there's no infrastructure there, you can't join online to receive things. You are really cut off. You might have to walk a kilometre or even 10 k's to get a mobile signal. And that makes New Zealand a third world country for those citizens. So it's a very big issue. And it's something that still needs to be tackled from a lot of points of view. Children growing up today get all kinds of opportunity and just daily exposure to being online and to searching for information and so on. What they don't get is enough critical skills, thinking skills around how you access that information, how you decide what on social media can be believed and what is fabricated. And that's a danger for democracy. And it's also a danger for democracy when the technology is there to copy and misuse what people say and misrepresent people and smear their character. And this is really disturbing, but this is some of the latest developments that are occurring. I want to talk also about the upcoming council elections and the people who advocate for seniors' wellbeing, who have been particularly behind the age-friendly city movement and have been really engaging with councils in their local areas, trying to get greater understanding of what it will mean to have one in four Aucklanders being over the age of 65 within the next decade. What it will mean to have not only a rapidly growing ageing population as a whole, but just the diversity within that population, the extremes of vulnerability, the mobility issues, the need for more senior-friendly parking, not just people who qualify for a car parking permit because of disability, because that comes under medical grounds, but just feeling frail and knowing that you can't walk that far is really something that will drive people to stay home rather than go out and spend money. So it affects the economy, and it makes a difference if seniors are out in the world and they're participating fully. It affects how many volunteers are available to run things. It affects how many grandparents are able to attend school functions and support their grandchildren in performances. It affects how many people are available to do jobs that perhaps are very difficult to fill because they're odd hours of the day or the night. I mean, the ramifications are huge as to how we support senior people to get around, whether the buildings are accessible. I mean, I still find there are very heavy doors in some places. Thanks to bollards, doors can be more lightweight and still locked up, and more safety accrued to the people that work behind them. But I still notice petrol stations have some of the heaviest doors. And banks once upon a time certainly were very impossible to negotiate with prams. But these days, banks are online and digital and not even very visible. So we can't complain about that. But I do think there needs to be more emphasis on quality design and accessible design. And we're hoping that that legislation that I talked about last week in depth with Tarun Banks, who is an advocate for accessibility issues and for communication issues for the deaf. And together we canvassed quite strongly some of the changes that we hope are going to come in through this legislation. So I encourage you to go online to www.planetaudio.org.nz. And through the programs page, scroll through to you get to Senior Focus and look up and see the program the last Sunday. And I think that you'll find that worth listening to. I know I've listened to it a couple of times, and I actually think the issues were well covered, and it's punchy and short and not too taxing just to follow through. And there will be more material available as the toolkit comes out, because we're planning to get that out to groups in the community. So look out for that, because we'll be doing some publicity through libraries and community centres right across Auckland. I think other grey powers other than North Shore are likely to take this up as well, and other community groups too. And the CAB are likely to become involved. I think some community centres are going to run groups, so it won't just be people like me, it'll be a much broader network. So look out for the accessibility toolkit. Now, I also think with regards to the election this time, that we have a group of people, many of whom are quite new to politics. We have some people standing for mayor who haven't stood for the mayoralty before. We have some people who have no experience as elected representatives, so they're not familiar with local government issues or local government practices, or the way in which meetings run, or meeting procedure, or just how consultation takes place between the council and the community. So we have quite a lot of educating to do in terms of our senior issues with this particular crop of candidates, whether it's the mayoral candidates or whether it's the councillors or whether it's the local board members. We need to be quite vigilant in having dialogue with these people to find out what they know about the growing senior population, about the need for accessibility, the need for suitable transport, the lack of suitable housing, particularly for those forced to rent. It's quite a sad story, apart from the costs of the inappropriateness. Many of these options that they're faced with are damp, cold basements with not much sun. And it's always a sad story to just hear some of the real suffering that older people go through when they are forced out of places because the landlord decides to sell suddenly, or the landlord dies and the property is sold because of an estate, and so on. So these are issues that we need to bring up, because in the past, 80% of the senior population owned their own home. That figure's dropped to 60%. And for some age groups, some seniors in their 50s and 60s, the figure's even lower in some urban centres. There is not the provision within the new build of social housing to cater for the larger senior population, particularly of non-owners. So it's a growing problem, and it's a problem that's not going away. And I think a lot of people just assumed that seniors would go to retirement villages, end of story. But as we know, you have to have a home to own, to sell, to buy your apartment in the village. They don't come free. You can't just walk in. You have to buy that apartment. And where are you going to get the capital from if you don't already own something? You can't borrow easily as a senior, and particularly not if you don't own any property. So it's a very difficult time of life for people to suddenly find money they don't have. And even if they do manage to sell their place and get into the retirement village, they then face the issue of, if they lose the capital they have because of a share market crash or because of fraud, as has happened with people who put their money in unsafe investments in the past, they actually can't recover that, and they may end up in a situation where they can't continue to pay the weekly fees, in which case what they have bought is a license to occupy, and they will be forced out. They won't be able to stay in the village. And that has happened to some people. And they can't get help from WINS in place to stay put where they are. So it's a very difficult circumstance. Of course, then there's a situation where the village goes bankrupt and provides no services, and they have to leave anyway. It happened about 5 years ago. And then we had a case, of course, with the Christchurch earthquakes, where the villages were uninhabitable and people had to leave at gunpoint, literally, and ended up sleeping on other people's couches because they could not recover their capital and they couldn't actually start again. The payments, insurance payments, went to the village itself. It didn't go to the residents. Residents only had a license to occupy, which was now completely worthless. So we have to be really mindful of the fact that amid all this situation, we also have a chronic shortage of aged care beds. And many people go into retirement villages on the proviso that the village has hospital beds available and they'll be able to transition into units where they can receive more care as they age and as they deteriorate. But that's an assumption based on current figures and current situation, but it actually may prove not to be a buoyant enough situation to meet the needs of all the residents who are ageing together. And the age of people going into retirement villages has been increased, and so a lot of villages don't take people unless they're 70. And but some people are living longer and doing well, but some are not. So medical science makes it easier for people to live longer and to receive more care. But if the beds are not available, that becomes a very big issue. And at the moment, there is a chronic shortage. The government isn't creating enough hospital beds and aged care, and the retirement village industry is not actually able to supply enough beds either. For them, it's not a really a money-making outfit. They are using it as a draw card to get people into the villages. But even that may backfire, as I've explained. So we do need to be very mindful of the fact that this is actually a bit of a minefield, that those of us who don't need all this care or don't need to worry about an aged care bed just yet, we'll hope that things will improve by the time we get there. But they won't improve by accident, really. They need to be improved by design. And that's really part of the advocacy that's ongoing, that Grey Power does. And I was very impressed with this constant chipping away that the current board has been doing to with these issues, because that's what it takes. It takes conversations at Parliament, ongoing conversations, education of MPs, working with new MPs. And that's just what we found also with council, that it takes time to bring people up to speed, to get them to understand what the issues really are. And particularly as most of the people we're talking about probably don't socialise that much with too many older people. Maybe they're their own grandparents, but that's not necessarily typical of the range of people of a senior age and their needs. So there is a huge job in advocacy to be done, and that's why we need people to belong to Grey Power. We need people to support these organisations that do advocacy. Some organisations do social services. They get payments from the government to look at elder abuse and other issues. And so because they are paid by the government, they tend not to be able to be very critical as advocates. They tend to have their voices subdued somewhat because of that. That's why it's really important that an independent organisation, that is entirely driven by the needs of its members, the voices of its members, and the concerns of its members. That's why such an organisation has the respect of MPs, why it has lasted so many years, and why it has had such a big impact on New Zealand as a whole. I think there are many, probably 80-odd changes in policy and legislation that have come about because of the advocacy of grey power. Things like the way driver's licences are assessed for older people over 80. And even now, there are people still having difficulties because outmoded tests that don't actually have any impact on your driving ability whatsoever, can be used in certain situations by certain medical centres to exclude people and remove them from having a licence. And that is a travesty. It's a human right, I think, that's been taken away. No, it's not a human right, really, but you think of the impact of someone losing their licence when it's your ticket to mobility, to get to social events, it's their ticket to get to healthcare, it's their ticket to participate in society. And they don't always have good transport, good public transport as alternatives. And maybe taxis are too expensive in certain situations and too far for them to travel and so on. I've heard some horrendous stories recently, and that's a whole area of concern that Grey Power is very focused on, and there are people on committees right now gathering stories of the experiences of older people going to get their licence renewed when they're over 80, and how they feel about that process when they're not respected, when they're trivialised, and when they're asked to demeaning type questions. I mean, an Alzheimer's test item that asks you to list items when shopping in the supermarket. If you don't do supermarket shopping, if you order on perhaps online or someone else in the family does the shopping, then you don't readily think of those things. You wouldn't be able to do that item in the time frame you're given of so many seconds. But it doesn't prove anything about how you drive a car on the road. It's got absolutely nothing to do with your driving ability. And that's really what should be assessed, nothing else. If you can drive adequately and you could be tested in a simulated test, for example, on a simulator, that should suffice. So there's carte blanche by the medical profession to determine what tests will be applied and when and how. And sometimes these are delegated to nurses who use these Alzheimer tests that have been ruled out in Canada, even legally, as invalid, but they still crop up. So beware, and if you are planning to go for a test, do some research, do some homework, find out about what's happened to local people, find out about who does these things fairly and where you should go. And if you have any stories to share, please contact Grey Power and let us know. Let the Grey Power Association know, the federation, I mean, or your local branch. You don't have to be a member even, just we need the stories of older people and what has happened when they've been denied their licence. So moving on, thinking about this election again, I'm just conscious that people may not be aware that it's a postal vote. People may not be have checked that they're actually on the roll. People may not know the candidates or who's standing. So do look out, not just at the billboards on your local highways you're driving past. So for this election, do your homework. Do get to meet candidates and find out, ask some questions about how they are going to prioritise the needs of seniors and not let them be left behind. On that note, I want to finish today's session, and we're going out with Olivia Newton-John, and sad that she has passed, but knowing she has been a wonderful healer and a wonderful singer, and the song I've chosen is Pearls in the Chain. Enjoy. And we'll see you next week.
With Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.